taken away by DeMelo. DeMelo, ball loose. Bethune to win it.
Welcome to this episode of Diaspora United. I'm here, Courtney Stith. I'm hosting today, changing the roles between me and my beloved co-host, Andre Carlisle, Andre Latavius, the Jolly Green.
Honey, this was a bad decision.
Should never let me go. You knew this was coming. You should have known this was coming. But we are here to talk to you about some... Well, so it's a new year. Haven't talked to you since last year. But
Wow. The unprompted dad joke already.
I'm full of them. Andre, how you doing?
I'm good. My voice is going to sound a little weird, so apologies up front for everybody, but I'm getting over a little bit of a sickness that lingered. Seriously, y'all, mask up, get whatever shots you need to get because it's crazy out there. So I feel like as soon as you step outside, you just get hit in the face with like 14 viruses, and hopefully your body ejects most of them. Mine left at least one. Well, I don't know if it's a virus. I shouldn't even say that, but my voice slowly coming back. I'm all right, but you know, I'm not 100%, so it's all good.
But yes, always mask up, go get your boosters, get your flu shot, get your COVID shot.
Yeah.
You do not
want Aaron Rodgers out here.
No, period. But you do not want what's going on. Because look, literally everyone, I go to PT 3 times a week, everyone got a cough. And it's also the nastiest cough you've ever heard. It's not like, it's the grossest cough you've ever heard. So you should 100% mask up. Anyway, moving on. We have a lot to talk to y'all about today. We're going to talk about the NWSL draft that's happening on Friday. We got some news across the NWSL, and some transactions, players moving. And then we got heated and hyped. But before we get started, Andre, are you ready for a review? We got another review. Please, please, please leave us reviews, specifically with dad jokes, because most of the time Andre's forced to read them, and that brings me a lot of joy. Also, if you want to give Andre a middle name, you can also leave that in the review. It's a really good job. Or if you ever want to send, and I'm doing this for you, Andre, because you love talking about how I love stats. If you get a good stat, you can drop it in a review too. Anything's possible. But yes, leave a review, rate us 5 stars, and share with your friends because it helps the podcast grow. All right, our review is from, I don't know if that's an actual name or just a bunch of letters put together, but Etwa Safkig? Safig?
Nailed it.
I don't know. Etwasaffig, whoever that is. Thanks for leaving this review. It's titled Everything. Tall Dre and Courtney, are you covered in dried garlic and onion flakes, poppy and sesame seeds, and dusted with kosher salt? Because y'all are everything to me. Bagels. I literally
really
read this. And I started cackling immediately, and I was like, why were we recording? To get my initial reaction, because that's everything. This review was truly everything. It was incredible.
It's well so good. And honestly, way to rebound after the first name for me, which I'm not here for. And I saw that, and I like rolled my eyes, and then I read the rest of it, and I was like, you know what? We got to have this on the podcast. It's perfect. So thank you so much. It made me smile, and it got past, you know, that other thing that people like to call me for.
You can 100% call Andre Tall Dre in our reviews. You can 100% do that.
I strongly discourage it.
Yeah, Tall Dre and Tallstralian. Tall Dre the Tallstralian.
You, Courtney, the stats. Stop acting like you don't have a nickname, too. I just need people to start using it.
No, because I really don't be having stats like that.
You do,
once in a blue moon. Once in a blue moon. Anyway, we are moving on. But thank you. Please leave reviews and share with friends because we really appreciate it. Andre, are you ready to get started?
Ooh, I get to do it this time. Give me a second. Let me pause.
Yeah. don't put me on blast. All right. Andre, the NWSL draft is happening on Friday, January 12th. And it's happening from 8 to midnight. For the first 2 hours, we'll be on ION. From 8 to 10, it is on ION. Someone tell me how to get there. I know I have to find Pluto or something. I don't have a Roku. I just have a computer. I don't know how to find it, but someone said it to me. And then from 10 to 12, along with Attacking Third, they will be on Ion Plus. I didn't know Ion had a plus.
I was about to say the same thing. I had no idea they had a plus, but okay. Pleased to meet you.
I did not know that Ion had a plus. I was, to be fair, extremely curious because for the first promos of the draft, it was just 8 to 10. And I was like, I personally don't know if anyone's experienced an NWSL draft before. However, I have, and they all last at least 4 hours.
Yeah.
I don't think an NWSL draft has really lasted less than three. So I was like, I don't know how 2 hours of this draft is going to be put on Ion unless they're like, you can't take a timeout. There are no passes. There are no trades.
I love no timeouts.
Nothing. I know the timeouts be rough. They should really make the timeouts like 30 seconds to speed things up. But yes. So the second 2 hours of the draft will be on Ion Plus, which neither of us knew existed. So don't ask us where to find it because we don't know.
Right. Check your local listings.
Truly, check your local listings. But Andre, I know that you have been watching the college game very, very closely this year. And we've had a lot of ballers. We've got Croy Bethune, Kiki Van Zanten, which if y'all remember, she's part of the Reggae Girls.
Yeah.
Has been balling out. Got Savvy King, a late declaration, as well as Raylan Turner. We got some sisters of current NWSL players. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things going on there. So, Andre, take me through who you're hyped about in this draft.
Okay, so I might be talking for a while because that's a big question. But I am, I can't hit on all the black ballers that are in there. So shout out to you if you're a black baller, whether you get drafted or not. Again, to basically everybody, whether you get drafted or not. As we know, there are camps that players get invited to. There's other options that you can play as well. We got USL here as well. There's Europe. There's other places. There's Liga MX as well. There's wherever. You got options. This ain't the end-all, be-all. This is the start for so many players, whether they're going to be in the NWSL or not. So my big thing, though, is looking at the players that I think, the black ballers that are going to come into the league and I think have a good chance to have like a pretty significant impact. And the first one, first and foremost, like I know that there's like a different number one consensus. There doesn't seem to be like that overall number one for most of the mock drafts that I've seen. For me, it's a done deal. You give me the first round pick. I don't care what team I have, what team I'm in charge of. It's Croy Bethune, period, mm-hmm. period. And the reason why is because she's just like, it's really hard to find a player who is custom made to stand in front of, like to create from the center of the pitch. It's not easy, but that's where she does her best work. She ain't no winger. She ain't no forward. She ain't no number eight. She is a classic number 10, and she is excellent at it. The little turns, the feints, everything that she does to break pressure, to avoid pressure. I'm writing something on her, and I'm just like watching how she plays that role, and it's outrageous. The biggest problem is that she's had some ACL injuries, and I think that's probably going to be concerning for some teams, probably. But she recovered very well from the last one, came back, helped Georgia win the SEC championship, their first ever this time around.
Period.
Yeah, like she's a straight up baller, and I think if she goes to the right team with the right performance and medical staff, she's going to be all right. I've been low key. I've been hating. I don't want to say this. I haven't said this out loud to anybody yet. But for me, she's Rose Lavelle 2.0.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Heard here first.
Yeah. You heard it here first. She's got the dribbling technique, but to me, it's the vision. She can set up passes a little bit better, I think, than Rose. And she's in a little bit better control in the attacking third when she has to face multiple defenders. She is so damn good. So, like, yeah, I'm real hype about her.
Very high marks from Taldre himself.
Oh, geez.
That's sorry, I couldn't help myself. No, yeah, 100%. That's great marks. And I've seen her highlights, and I'm like, she's cooking.
She's disrespectful. She's
disrespectful, and she's cooking. I'm telling you, she's still Gen Z, right? These Gen Z players.
Yeah, yeah.
They're different. They're real different. They really are.
So there's a couple others that I'm still interested to see. Like, you know, I honestly think like Raylan Turner, you mentioned her off the top. I think she has a chance to go really, really high. I'm talking top three picks. Obviously, like just a goal scorer. That's what she does. We always need some of those in the league. It's really hard to score consistently in this league. And I think that she's done it at UCLA for a while. So I think she's definitely one that I'd be looking at going pretty high, especially for, again, she has a skill set to where I think pretty much any team that has the chance to pick her up and it actually adds her, she's going to do just fine with that squad. So let me see. I'm looking up her numbers now. Never scored less than 10 goals in a season, but also adds assists too, which is dope. Her freshman year, she had 11 goals and 5 assists, which is just like, okay, freshman just stepping in there. But those numbers have been pretty consistent. 2021, 10-1 assists, a little down on the assists, then 11-3, 10-6 in 2023. So like, yeah, she's going to be a fun player to watch in the league. So I'm excited to see her.
Andre, I'm curious. Wait.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
I've heard that it was a really big deal that Savvy King, also known as Savannah King, her name is Savannah, not Savvy. Well, her full name, but she goes by Savvy King. Yeah. In case the people were confused, because I was at first when I was like, who's this person? Is a freshman out of UNC declaring for the draft. And I heard that's a really big deal. I don't know if you know this, Andre. She's 18. She's real young and played in the U17 World Cup this past year. Or in 2023. What year is it? 2024. I don't know. But yes, I heard she's a big deal. And there's a very good chance that she could, like, folks weren't expecting this. So she could be a really smart pickup for.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you mentioned her because UNC is going to be interesting in terms of like what they actually look like on the pitch next year, or I guess this later on this year, because I think they had pretty much an exodus. I don't think people expected King to go, and 19-year-old Allie Sentner also declared for the draft as well. Baller. So like,
and she was part of the Pan American Games.
Yeah,
American Games squad.
Yeah.
There
yeah. So like there's a lot of players that declared from UNC. Macy Bell's another one. I'm going to talk about her a little bit later. She's a defender. I think she's like 5'11". She's going to be an interesting one if she gets into the right system, which again, I keep saying if they get into the right system, but that's the thing that I hate about the draft process is I think players will be able to determine what system is best for them and their development as opposed to just who has that pick and who like all the intersections that have to come together for a player and a draft to end up in the right spot for them is really, really tough. But back to Savvy King, baller. Like this was very unexpected. I really thought she was going to give one more year, but yeah, 18. So she can't just come in that U18 role. So she has to enter the draft. Same with Sittner, who I think is 19, but I think she's going to be a very fun outside back for somebody. I'm thinking of a few teams who lost an outside back, Chicago. Just lost Casey Krueger. Yeah, I also think North Carolina, who just lost Emily Fox. Like this is a player that
unreported, but we've seen the photo of Getty.
We've seen the blurry Emily Fox.
Did you see the video?
No, I didn't see the video.
There's a clip. You don't see it. Sorry. Y'all come on a journey with me. besides the fact that also one of the bigger Arsenal players liked a Stan account of photoshopping Emily Fox's face on an Arsenal uniform saying, nice. Emily Fox, welcome to Arsenal, which was hilarious. There's a clip, I don't know where Stan got it from, but she's not in it, but you hear someone in the back go, yes, Fox! And it's like, who do you think that is? Who do you think that is? What a surprise. Who do you think that is?
And the funniest thing is, as of this recording, Arsenal still has not announced her signing. She must have been there for like at least a week by now. At least.
Yeah.
It's very, very funny. But yeah, so North Carolina could be a team that she goes to as well. I think she would absolutely cook staying in North Carolina and at a position of need for them, given the way that Sean Nahas had that team playing, the possession style. She'd be that marauding fullback. She's going to be fun. Just super, super high energy. And another player who's in a similar mold is McKenna Morris, who played at Clemson. I think she's another one who could be a really outstanding fullback like right away. So I think, you know, fullback's been a question mark for the U.S. women's national team for a while. Don't think that's going to be the case anymore much longer.
Yes, that is very true. Andre, though, I have some questions. I know at the top you said, you know, obviously, I think for the first time, maybe the first time, I'll say in like several years, excluding last year, that getting drafted by the NWSL isn't the end-all be-all for your career. Obviously, there's still like training camps, invitationals, things like that. but also players can go sign abroad and thrive abroad. I think of a player who played at two players who played at a college in the United States and then went and started thriving abroad. Bunny Shaw, but also an Ashley Lauren.
Yeah.
And technically her teammate, her college teammate and club teammate and national team. I was like, national. I almost said like fellow countrymen, but I was like, that feels weird. Also Kadisha Buchanan also.
Yeah.
You know, went and immediately went abroad. So I feel like some big names missing on this list. Jody Brown, where art thou?
Yep.
Where Jody did you go? Brown. Very surprised not to see her on there. Also because.
Oh, I'm not.
And, well,
she's going to Europe.
Well, yes. The reason why I'm surprised is only because she's so good that, like, A, I would think she would go. If Jody Brown was on this list, I think she's going, like, top three.
Yeah, she's an absolute top three pick if she's declared.
Yeah, like top three, easy. But just
they say top three and not three. I think that's how it is.
Yeah, I mean, if she declared it to me, it would be a coin flip between her and Croy of like who's going number one. Yeah. But sorry, the reason I say that, is like, you know, weighing offers. Like, I mean, we've seen players get drafted to teams and turn down offers and go somewhere else. But I just, you know, thought she would declare. Also, because technically, and I thought you would want her to declare too, because in Sandra's mock draft, she had her going to the Spirit.
Yeah, that felt good. It was good to read, but I was like, it's not happening.
Not happening. Also, two other players who are really good, surprises that, or who are not on this list, Brittany Ruffino.
Yeah.
Who, when I first read it, I was like, did she Brazilianize Ruffino's name? Like, the first time I saw it, because I've been studying a lot of these players, like, looking at, like, you know, who was involved in U20s, U23s, like, especially I feel like as now that you don't have to wait almost, what, 3 years, three or even 4 years to declare for the NWSL draft, like, we just mentioned Savvy King can, like, you know, just had one season in college. We've seen Giselle Thompson, like, not even get, both Thompson sisters saying deuces to Stanford, and getting into the league another way. But, and sorry, before I go on this, Trinity Byers as well out of Texas, really good player. But yeah, so there are some big names missing on this list. And I feel like it's the NWSL is also, and Andre, I'm curious to know how you feel about this, that the NWSL is almost approaching like a, not necessarily a breaking point when it comes to this draft, but like we are seeing, I think at one point it was like, oh, the biggest, like besides the fact that the biggest players in the game were playing at the collegiate level in the U.S. because of, you know, lack of institution, lack of teams and things like that in other countries. And so that's not as much the case anymore. There's a several other ways you can like go and get into your professional playing career. Think about Mac Herman winner, and Chiquini out of Florida State. Like,
yeah,
literally she went to sign to Juventus, which I was like, like not dope. Juventus. No.
Yeah, I was a little sad, but you know, shout out to her getting the bag.
Yes, period. And also I was, well, this is a conversation for another time. But yeah, you know, there are many different ways that players can go pro. And also, like, I think one of our resolutions for this year is, like, players going and getting paid and getting the shmoney and getting all the things they deserve and not only raising the ceiling, but also raising the floor, too. And I think that's a part of it, too, of players saying, like, I also am fully in charge of my career, which is awesome. Even though draft, that does not happen in a draft. But
yeah,
also, I feel like there's probably going to be some sort of way where, you know, teams are probably potentially communicating with players and things like that. So they're not just drafting players who they know don't want to go to their program or something.
Well, yes, let's hope that's happening.
I would hope. I'm speaking optimistically.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you bring up a pretty decent point. I mean, Mia Fishel was drafted and she was like, hell no. And so she bounced. And so you could still see that. It's one for me, I think the smart thing would be for a lot of these players, especially given that the international window is open, it's the start of the Liga MX Femenil season where you could still sign, they could still transfer a player, get them in, and they could still get on the work their way on the pitch. So, like, I think the smart thing to do would be to register for the draft and just get all your options. You know, obviously, if you know you have someone, you get a great offer and you're going to go, then bounce. Like, Echegini, I get it. Bouncing, she's gone. She's like, I got the offer I wanted. I'm good. I'm gone to Italy, and I respect that. But, you know, finding out all your options, which is what I kind of feel like Mia Fishel did. Don't know what would have happened if another team, another coach, somebody else would have drafted her. Maybe she stays. Maybe she doesn't. I mean, there was a big offer from Tigres, so maybe she goes anyway. But what's important to players is different. Everybody thinks it's all about money. And yes, money's important. There are so many other things, and players are smart enough, which is why I always think people that think that whoever's going to pay the most or whoever has beaches is going to end up getting them. I'm like, players are smart. Not only are they like people, but they're smart enough to understand the fact that, like, this is the start of their professional career. They want to be somewhere where they can grow. Now, that doesn't mean they always make the right decisions or that teams always make the right decisions or coaches always make the right decisions. But you want to have as many options as available to be able to make sure that you can weigh them well and make the right decision. So I don't know. I was talking to somebody who was kind of telling me like some of the issues with getting rid of the draft, but then also some of the issues that the draft, you know, causes that you can't really, that we don't see, such as lower salaries, which is a thing that happens. You kind of get slotted in because the draft is a pre-made ranking system. You know, you go number one, you get this amount of money. Okay, then why in the world would somebody that goes number five make the same or even more, right? So you kind of get slotted in.
Is that really the way it is?
Well, it depends. I mean, it depends on the agent and the team. It's not like that. It's not like that, I'll say, in writing. Like in the NFL, okay. I believe they have like, you know, like I forget what they call it, but it's like a tier of players. So it's like a rookie salary cap for the most part. So you can't make any more than this depending on the position and when you were actually selected, position you play when you're actually selected. That's not in writing or anywhere for the NWSL. But I've heard that it does come up with some teams trying to negotiate to re-sign players. Well, they will hold that kind of thing against them. That's not cool because that's automatic. Like that's not only suppressing somebody's earning ability from the draft, like from the jump, but continuing to do that in the second contract as well.
That's also fundamentally foolish by these teams.
Sure is.
Don't you care more about how the player's doing on the field? It doesn't matter if you got, like, I think about Messiah Bright, right? Friend of the pod, who we were like, should be rookie of the year. And not going to shade Jenna Neiswanger, also had a fantastic year. Like, both were could very easily have been rookie of the year, but like Messiah Bright, like what led Orlando in goals?
Yep.
And so that
all rookies,
like across all rookies. Led the league across all rookies in goals and led Orlando in goals. Like, it's just kind of baffling to me that teams are being like, oh, you are only drafted number seven. So I'm only going to give you number seven money as opposed to like, hey, you are like, not even a first-round draft pick or a second-round draft pick. Like, it should matter how you are, like, slotting into your team and how well you're doing. Like, think of someone like Paige Mataier, who was, like, you know, when we had to do the voting, she was my number four rookie of the year, because I also keep forgetting that Lissa Thompson was also rookie last year.
Yeah.
But, you know, she came in and, like, fully went and slotted into the Spirit. And, I mean, I know, like, last season the Spirit didn't have the greatest season, but, like, for her to do that as a rookie is also meaningful. Like it is, but, and she was like, undrafted, what, a fourth rookie. Round undrafted. I was like, I thought she was like a fourth round pick. Like, I don't know. That's so, it's like crazy. Sorry. I'm just fully rambling here, but like, it's baffling to me that like teams would do that when it's like, it doesn't matter when this player was drafted or how this player was drafted. If they were drafted at all, it matters how they're playing on the field and how integral they are to your system. Like, that's so baffling to me. I can't lie. It's baffling to me.
It's absolutely wild. And that to me was like even more, but like even underscored even more why this is just a bad process. And I'm hopeful that teams and the people who would do stuff like that are going to get phased out, because I don't think you can continue to do that and treat players in that way. So I'm hoping that that is no longer the case when it comes to a lot of these contracts and how these players sign and the money they can earn. But I will say the other thing that I did hear about in terms of the draft, and if, say, okay, the draft is abolished, then what do we do next, right? For me, I'm just like, signing day would be great. But also there are a lot of players who...
You win this signing day.
Yeah, I'm here for it. But also it's like the players that would be drafted in the later rounds, there's nothing really to let them showcase their talents. It'd all be reliant on teams and their individual scouting. And so there would need to be something like a combine, multiple player camps, so that players and like coaches and could meet one another. Like,
now you look, do an have NWSL combine.
Yeah. So like,
I think that's a great idea.
It needs to happen. If you get rid of the draft, something like that needs to happen just because you need that face to face. And you also need to have multiple players be able to show up at it to show their skills. Because if you just make it a signing day, I get the legitimate worry that like the top maybe 30 to 50 players would be signed and then everybody else would be struggling. And you wouldn't have teams wouldn't have incentive to like do all of the work that you need to do to scout these players. For me, that's wild, because the college system is like, it's like free talent manufacturing for you. So like, go scout it, understand it, get whatever scouts you need, get whatever player recruitment you need, try and talk to players to get them, know what you need, know what you want, know the players that can fit it. Like, to me, it makes a lot of sense to do that, but not every team is set up to run that way just yet. And I think they need to if you are going to get rid of the draft. So I did hear that point, and it's a good one.
Well, and with that, I would also say, like, not saying that we know that about all the money coming into the NWSL, but even then, it is, especially when it comes to women's soccer compared to men's soccer, where there's probably, what, almost double the amount of women's soccer programs compared to men's soccer programs in the NCAAs. I do understand, and like, that's just D1. Like, I do understand teams not being able to go out and scout a lot of these players, but I would also say with that, and I've watched my sister do this as well, of, I do think having some sort of draft mechanism, and maybe it's like a draft combined with a combine or something like that. I'm sorry to say combined, but like a draft with something like a combine. Would work, because I would also say, like, a lot of these players, I mean, maybe hopefully, like, a tide is turning, but I think for a lot of these players, like, I think about so many of the players my older sister, like, played with, don't always want to be, like, professional athletes. Like, and that's okay, but, like, sometimes you just don't. And so I do think the nice mechanism of the draft is that the players do have to sign up for it and be like, yes, this is something I want to do. Because, like, there are also going to be, like, fantastic players on teams who are like, nah, I just don't like soccer that much. My older sister, Morgan Alexandria Stith. You may or may not be listening to this. Fantastic soccer player. Doesn't like soccer. Breaks a heartbreaking reality for me and my older brother, who are less
tough.
Talented.
That is tough.
Hated it. Don't like soccer that much. Wild. Anyway, besides the point. But what I do think there needs to be some mechanism. So also, like, teams aren't going out and being like, oh my God, we'd love X, Y, and Z player, and they're going to play so well. And then it's like, you do spend all this money and resources, and they're like, nah, I don't really like soccer that much. And it's like, or like, I want to go I want to go to consulting instead, or law school, or med school, or something. And it's like, oh. But I do really like the idea of a NWSL combine. Question for you, since we're just out here chatting, how does it work, I guess, between the NFL combine and the NFL draft? Because as for whoever follows me online, tweet almost every day saying, is the football over? Because I want the football to end. Not soccer or world football, just the football of the United States. So I guess, what is a relationship like between those two?
So it's a really important relationship. Although I will say that there are some of the like super top picks. And honestly, people can check me on this, because I used to be, my first love is like growing up as a sport before my eyes were open, the scales fell from my eyes, was American football.
The scales fell from your eyes.
So like, I have a lot of base knowledge of it, but I haven't really kept up a ton with it as it's gone on. And as, I mean, I don't want to get into it, but it's Kaepernick, concussions, all the stuff they're trying to say to black people's brains were smaller and all of that shit. So like, I was just like, all right, I'm done with y'all. But it is an important relationship in terms of the combine. There are a lot of professional players, or like the top level players, who are going to get drafted real high, some quarterbacks and whatever, who just opt out of the combine. They'll either do a pro day on their own, or say like, y'all saw all the tape you need. I'm not going to put myself through any more rigor. You're good.
Y'all saw the footage.
Yeah, right. So it's a gangster move, but not everybody can do that. Right. So the draft is, the combine is still important, because it allows them to meet, allows club representatives and GMs to actually meet players, talk to them, get their measurements, which honestly, some of it is really gross. You got a lot of dudes in their drawers just kind of like being measured, like from like shoulder to fingertip. And, you know, there's a part of it that gets real creepy, real
soon. Measurements. Why don't they just do their
hand size, everything?
Look, I know they lie about height. However, these men do be doing that, but like, why don't they just need their height? And I don't know. I mean, hand size, sure. I don't know.
They do it all, and it's creepy and gross. And I don't. I if we do a combine, it absolutely doesn't need to be that. So it's like, don't do that.
All you need is their height.
Yeah, you need height. I don't even think you need, you don't need weight. I think you just need height. And then you just need to see in like some skills, some balls, situations. Like I used to pay attention a lot to cornerbacks and the wide receivers. And so you want to see them basically run a route tree, defend a route tree. You know, you want to see the back pedal. You want to see in and out of the break, looking for fluidity and hip movement, all that business. So like there are different drills that you can put out there for players to be able to run through. To where I think it was Bev Yanez who said, and I'm getting this secondhand information, so forgive me, Bev, if this is wrong, but somebody told me that in her media availability, she was talking about how she can just watch the hips of a player when they receive and pass the ball and knows if that's a player she wants. And I'm like, ooh, okay, spicy.
It's not
I like
specifically
it.
That. However, and this is plugging Attacking Third. She was recently on Attacking Third and was actually talking about that. It was talking about a very similar thing. Also, in the middle, this is a side note. In the middle of that, I was like, I will run through a wall for you. Yeah. I was like, I want to play. I was literally like, I will run through every single wall. Because her soccer brain is fantastic. But that's just a side note. But yeah, that we should 100% have an NWSL. You know what it should be, objectively? And I know it's hard to do because NWSL like championship is at the same time as like a lot of these college, like the college, it leads into the college cup and stuff, but it would be cool if, like, you know, NWSL, I give you so many free business ideas. Also, thanks for the tote bag and the stickers because I love them. But here's another one. It'd be like cool if you could do like an NWSL combine like on the same weekend as a championship weekend.
Yeah.
And you like could make like a whole event out of it. I don't know. It could be cool.
Well, you know how they pair the coaches convention, the U.S. Soccer Coaches Convention, with the NWSL draft? It's just because a lot of people who would want to be in that space anyway are already there. And so I just think you take an event like that and you make it a little bit bigger, or make it a precursor to a bigger event. And I think you get everybody there naturally, and it also becomes a thing. So, yeah, I'm here for the idea. I just think that, like, I heard the feedback and I'm like, okay, that definitely needs to happen, because you don't want players like slipping through the cracks. And you don't want it to just be like, okay, like the handful of like training camp invites, and a player has to be pretty like, it's quite the risk, because you're wasting time with just one team if you agree to like a pre-camp invite. Like Mateo, the Spirit could have said, nah, we don't really see it. And then what does she do? Right. So it is difficult to take a pre-camp invite if you don't know if you'll have like a really good chance or opportunity to make the team. So I do think that like there's a lot to consider about it. I just think the draft is so bad for team and squad building, and it's bad for, and it's an anti-labor construct, that it just definitely needs to go, specifically when you have a global market like what women's soccer is. And so it's just a relic and it doesn't belong here, but you do have to be smart about getting rid of it.
Yeah, I agree. Anyway, we've chatted long enough about the draft. So we're going to take a quick break and then we will be right back to talk about...
No, wait. I'm sorry. We did get sidetracked, but I just want to run through like a handful of players real quick, because right, I know it. we got stuck a little bit in draft things, which actually wasn't bad. But I want to talk about... I want to make sure I highlight Leilani Nesbitt, who was from Florida State, a midfielder. I think she's going to be really dope. Again, I talk about all the things that we've been needing in like the U.S. Women's National Team, and forgive me if I'm projecting too far for some of these players. Like, yeah, they got to get into the pro game and get settled. But Nesbitt is fun. She got an absolute cannon for a right foot too. And so she's a number 8 box-to-box midfielder. I think she's going to be great. Jada Thomas is another forward who's very interesting, from University of Tennessee. I think she's going to be a surprising player. She's really tall, but also really good with the ball at her feet. We have quite a few of those. Jordan Dudley at FSU hasn't declared yet, but she was a freshman and balled out last year. When she goes, if she declares for the draft, or if she goes to Europe, wherever she goes, she's going to ball out. Also want to mention Macy Bell. I think Macy Bell is a defender from UNC. She's going to be a fun one in the NWSL as well. I think she's really comfortable on the ball. Really good at playing kind of a possession game and a high pace game. And she's got a lot of fluidity about her. So I'm really excited to see those players in particular. Plus, there's a couple others who you might want to take a look at and see, like Madison Aysen. She used to play for Stanford. She went to Xavier in her final year, but she's got some skills. A very good player. Cam Pickett, Kiki Pickett's sister. That's fun. We could have some sisters.
I saw that and
I
said, is that? And then I picked up a photo and I said, it is.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, if you weren't sure, just take a look. And then we got, for me, You just have some great names. One, I have to give a shout out because it's my alma mater, JMU, which, by the way, I'm not plugging JMU for nothing because I actually didn't appreciate my time there.
I was like, are you going to plug whatever their mascot is, which I can't remember what it is off the top of my head.
Just a bulldog with a crown. It's fine. But Swiss Muhammad, originally from Ghana, great name. I was surprised to see her from JMU eligible for the draft or registering for the draft. That should be fun. Shalom Prince, one of my favorite names. That's amazing. I'm here for that. To see Shalom name. Prince. And then, of course, you did mention Kiki Van Zanten. I think she's been used as more of a midfielder in Notre Dame and played really well there. That might be a very interesting kind of in the right system. That could be very interesting. At worst, she could be a winger who's very, very devastating. We know she's good on the ball. Seen her with the Reggae Girls. Seen her score some important goals for the Reggae Girls as well. So, yeah, that's it. Sorry, we can move on. But I just wanted to spotlight a few more players.
No, it's all good. It's helpful. Look, people are going to be watching this draft, so they want to know who they should be looking out for. And that is part of our duty, is to tell people some of the melanated players that they should be looking out for. But yes, let's take a quick break, and then we'll be right back talking more NWSL. All right, we are back. Andre, there was some NWSL news. Many things have happened since the last time we recorded. Andre, do you want me to go through all the news that I can think of off the top of my head that's happened since the last time we recorded? Because there's been a lot.
There's been a ton, yeah.
I was like, I did a whole list, and I was like, wow, okay. This keeps going? This has not stopped. And it's like, wow. But let's start with do you want to start with the news of not the news of the day, but I was going to say what felt like the two pieces of biggest news that have happened since last time we recorded. First, Crystal Dunn, Rose Lavelle, Tierna Davidson, and Emily Sonnet have all signed for Gotham as free agents.
Outrageous.
Is absolutely outrageous. And I also would say, in equally outrageous news, it has been confirmed that Jonathan Giraldes is now the new coach of the Spirit. We don't know who's going to be there till he leaves Barcelona. And I don't know if that's a little nerve-wracking going into a draft. just a wee bit. But yeah, I feel like those are the really big pieces of news. But would you like me to go over the other technical pieces of news that have happened?
Well, also, Casey Krueger to the Spirit.
Casey Krueger has gone to the Spirit.
Yeah.
Chrissy Mewis has gone to West Ham.
She has.
I was like, I mean, we mentioned it. Edugini signed.
I'm sorry.
Pain in my heart. West Ham has made signings. Chris Mewis, Katrina Gori, Shalina Zdorsky, Jenny Hermoso has gone to Tigres.
That's so dumb. I'm getting that shirt.
And they're already playing already.
I'm sorry, Chivas fans. I know I said what I am, but I can't help it. It's Jenny Hermoso at Tigres. I got to get that shirt.
I want it expeditiously. But also, we mentioned Echegini signing with Juve. Ifeanyi Amanu, friend of the pod, has now gone to Utah. Tema Chawinga, sister of Tabitha Chawinga, is going to Kansas City. And Evelina Duljan has signed with the Orlando Pride. Mm-hmm. Many things have happened. And I'm baffled by all of it. And then
hold on a second. You said also we're hearing. That sounds like you're about to break news. So let me get out.
I'm not breaking news. I'm reading from news that has slowly breaking on Twitter. Is that there's real good chance that Dana Castellanos is going to Bay FC.
I'm so happy about that. I've been calling for that for like years. I was like, no, not Manchester City. Come to the NWSL. Your game would be great here. And I'm really happy about that. Hope they get that across the line. I think it is really close. We did see, I believe it was Graham Falk who put it out there. He reported that it is very close. So normally deals don't fall apart when they get to this stage. So hopefully that
advanced talks.
Yeah, exactly.
They're in advanced talks.
Gotham in the advanced talks.
Andre, I'm excited. I haven't even, there's another huge piece of news. Well, yes. Two. One, the Portland Thorns got sold.
Yes, about time.
A second huge piece of news is Sadella Marley signing as global ambassador to the Jamaica Football Federation, the Reggae Girls, and the Bob and Rita Marley Foundations announced a discontinuation of financial support.
Yeah, that's real bad.
To be fair, that's not like a full discontinuation. They're still going to help the team out through their foundations. It's just going to be a lot less money. So
yeah, I feel sorry for the reggae girls on that one. And there's just we really need to. We have tried to get like some players on, somebody that knows some more information than we have, and we're gonna keep trying to do that because we want to have like a real episode about all that situation. So like it really sucks, and we want to elevate it and make sure we're not forgetting about it, but we want to make sure we do the work to kind of get somebody on the podcast that can talk about these things a bit more in depth, because right at this point there's a hell of a lot going on, and I don't think it's worth more than just a quick discussion on the podcast. I think we got to do a full episode on it, so we're still going to try and do that.
It deserves a full episode.
I did think about something else that happened. Oh, that's right. You forgot this. I'm glad I remembered it. She came home. The queen is back.
She's New York as fuck. She's at Knicks games, which objectively I'm like, why? They're not good at basketball.
We're talking about a different queen. That's hilarious.
Which queen are you talking about?
I'm talking about the OG queen, O.L. Reign, and not O.L. Reign no more. They're Seattle Reign FC.
They're not O.L. Reign anymore.
They're not O.L. Reign no more, but the queen came back. That logo, oh my God, that crest is my favorite in soccer. I'm so glad it's back. I ordered a scarf immediately. I need to see what the shirts look like because I'm going to have about 4 or 5 of them. Like, I'm excited about this. This needed to happen, and I'm so glad they made it happen. But yeah, Crystal Dunn's queen.
Yeah, I was like, I thought you were talking about Crystal Dunn. No, the queen is back. Actually, I do love that. There's no more oil rain. There is. It's just Seattle Reign now. The crest is gorgeous. That bomber jacket. I was like, I want one. It's a nice jacket. It is a really nice jacket. And so yes, I really do want one of those. And I also want a kit because it's not that I didn't want an O.L. Reign kit. It's more that I'm 95% sure I forgot to get one. And so now that they have the new logo coming back, I'm like, well, now I need to wait and get a new one. But yeah, Andre, a lot has happened. Obviously, I think getting a player like Crystal Dunn for Gotham is absolutely fantastic business. Gotham, look, Aaron West said, watch my wife work. And that we did.
Yes.
That we did. She did put a hell of a lot of work. So yeah, there's a lot of NWSL news, NWSL shakeups. We didn't even talk about, like, I mean, there's a lot of shakeups right now also going on in the WSL, but there's almost like too many to count and pay attention to. There's a lot happening, but we also saw today that news broke that Pierre Soubrier is joining Gotham. Well, sorry, I don't want to say joining Gotham is not the right phrase. Yeah. Gotham hired him as a consultant after his 1-year suspension for administering codeine. For folks who don't know, it was during the Yates investigation, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
During the Yates investigation, it was uncovered that Soubrier basically broke league protocols and legal protocols, fair to say.
Definitely.
And he was suspended following a league investigation concerning a report that he had administered a medication that contained codeine to 2 players during a 2022 Portland Thorns match, and that codeine requires a prescription and should only be administered by a physician, which he is not. So he was given a 1-year suspension. Also, as part of that, administering that medication, there were also reports out of the Athletic and out of the report that one of the players did not know that that medication had codeine in it. And so he was suspended, given a year, 1-year suspension, and I believe is that the league also had to approve him coming back to work in the league or any team in some capacity. They had to approve it. And earlier today, news broke that he was hired on as a consultant, specifically focusing on building out the club's youth development pipeline, which I think raised a lot of questions and a lot of question marks for a lot of people. And then Jenna Tinelli came out with some reporting saying that a source had confirmed to her that he would not be working with kids. So in this role, it's pure consult, or not, sorry, not pure consulting, but he's not working with any actual youth, and he's also not working with the first team. And people had a lot to say about this, and I think all their feelings about it were valid. I tweeted, I'm still processing. I don't think people realized that that's what I was talking about, because I tweeted like an hour late because I've been on calls and therapy and physical therapy and all that stuff. But for me, and I think the way I approach this, right, is like, I think of it in two ways. And I don't think a lot of people are going to agree with me on this. And I think that's fine. I think of it in two ways. One, like, Gotham has already done it. Like, it's already done. And we had kind of seen with not just Crystal and Pierre, but other players who are in long-term relationships or married or engaged in the league, that they're basically a package deal. Like, thinking 2 years ago about Allie and Ashlyn coming to Gotham from Orlando, it wasn't like you were just going to sign one and not the other. And I can think of, like, loads of players who are currently married or engaged or, in situations like that where it's like you are a package deal. So, one, I'm not super surprised he is consulting Gotham in some way, shape, or form, because, like, that's how Crystal got to Portland. She wanted to be, reunited with her family. From North Carolina. And I think the other way I think about it, it's like, was this the most strategic way that Gotham could do something like this? Yes. It's a consultant role. You're not working with the first team. You're also not working with kids. And so for me, I'm like, I'm not saying I'm a fan of the hiring in any way, shape, or form, but it's like, is the way they did it, it's not illegal, but also doesn't leave a great taste in your mouth.
Yeah, and I think that's where a lot of people are coming from, is it just doesn't, it feels icky. Now, for me, I think there are a couple things that could have been done to kind of avoid that. I think anytime you have a situation like this, like, pretty much anywhere that Crystal Dunn was going to agree to go to, this was probably going to happen with that team. I'm going to say that. But I think that's fair to say. Yeah, and I do think, though, that you have to be careful about how you announce it, and you have to use you have to explain things up front. And I think given what he was found to have done, I think when you give him a title with youth in the name, that's automatically going to make people mm-hmm. be like, what are you doing? Like, why are you trusting this guy around youth? And you have to read the article to realize, oh, he's actually not going to be like dealing one-on-one with youth players. That's not what the role is. But I also think that if you keep reading, you see that the role doesn't seem to be something that he's 100% qualified for. He mentions La Masia in terms of like the Barcelona Academy. Yeah, my guy. Like, if you ask me, I want to run a small business. I'm going to run it like Amazon, right? It's like they're saying the exact same thing. Like, yeah, okay. Like, but do you know anything else about it? Like, do you know what needs to be done? Like, yeah, obviously that's the aim for everybody, even teams that have like hundreds of millions of dollars. It ain't that easy to just create like a La Masia. So bringing that up was a little bit silly. And looking at his resume, And again, I don't know everything that he's done, but I don't believe that he's been in a position like this before. So I do think that like consultant is better than just being hired. I also wonder if like, if you just get a job somewhere close, like Gotham has a lot of connections. Maybe you get a job with another team, the New York Giants, do they need something? You know what I mean? Like, just do you get a job that's not specifically from Gotham, and does this look a little bit better, even though, or at least maybe it just on the surface, it makes it look a little bit better. But I think it is just optics. It looks bad. And I think they bungled it from the standpoint of the title and the responsibilities they said he's going to undertake. Because one, mm-hmm. there's a question mark of qualification. And two, you throw youth in there and people are going to be like, given what he did to grown ass women, this doesn't seem great in terms of the medications that were prescribed illegally without a prescription, I'll say. And then one who didn't even know about it. Those are bad. And you don't want that at all in the medical department, which he's not going to be. But also, again, the word youth triggered a lot of people to be like, hey, we don't really like this at all. This is really bad. And I think that you have to message, be careful and anticipate that reaction. I think it was a very easy reaction to anticipate if they took a step back and were like, okay, we're going to announce this. We're going to create this. We're going to do this. What do we do to make it, like, what do we do to protect him, ourselves, and what we're going to do? Again, I'm with you. I understand why they did it. I think it's not illegal. I don't think it's the best look, but there were ways to message it. And I think they got the messaging wrong, which turned into a bigger thing, which they honestly should have anticipated.
Yeah, and I mean, I think the bigger part about this for me is like, and I've kind of felt this way about other things that have happened with other teams, right? Like when a team's front office or someone in a team's front office does things that people are unhappy about, I feel like there's been this entire thing of like people telling other people that they shouldn't make noise about it. Do you know what I'm talking about? And yeah. I don't know, the way I'm kind of approaching it is like a lot of people, like a lot of things that people are feeling are 100% valid, and it's I think the best way of putting about it is like the league approved this. It's not like Gotham is doing something illegal, but it's also just like, I think when there's been a lot of fanfare around the club with these free agency signings, it's like this just puts like a huge damper on it. But I'm also like, you kind of knew this was coming because you knew wherever Crystal was going to go, her family was going to go with her, you know? So the only thing I will say about that is Crystal also should not have to pay any consequences for his actions. I know people say, people were saying like I even remember when Crystal wasn't called up for the last national team camp. I have this really bad habit of reading the comments. It's like my worst. Okay, I have a few bad habits, but that's like one of my worst. Is like I read the comments, unfortunately, and I should really stop, but I can't. But I remember in comments, like people were still bringing it up like a few months ago and being like, and you know, basically blaming his actions on why Crystal wasn't getting called up, which I really, really don't like. And I'm like, don't. Yeah. And this goes for anyone, like not just Crystal Dunn, and not just because like she's one of our favorite players. Like it is to me so deeply unfair for you to try to pin the consequences of his actions on her. Like, I mean, thank goodness this wasn't happening, but like no one was, actually, I'm not going to bring that up because I'm probably going to get in trouble. Keep myself from getting fined. But yeah, that's just one thing I don't like. But it's like, am I surprised this happened? Actually, I'll say like a little bit, but I also like kind of knew something like this was going to come with any, like literally with any team that she's signed for in the NWSL or honestly even abroad. Like if she wanted to go to England or France or Spain or something like that, like I would not be surprised about it.
Yeah, I can't say I'd be too surprised. I mean, I do think that, you know, there was a suspension, it was served, and, you know, the NWSL has reviewed things. You know, that was part of the statement as well, that they reviewed things. And I think you can have a little bit more, not that I fully, y'all know me and authority, not that I fully trust authority, but I do think that this NWSL front office has done a decent job of following up on these sorts of issues and meting out punishments and also making sure that certain things are accomplished before reinstatement, if that's a thing that is in place. So I understand the process, but I also understand optically, and I also understand from a morally kind of dubious standpoint, it's just a bad look, you know? It ain't a good look. And I do hate that Crystal's in the middle of it too, because like you said, she shouldn't be. She doesn't deserve to be. He messed up, not her. Now, is he real, real fortunate that she has to be Crystal Dunn? And this happened to happen when she was like the top name free agent in the NWSL and only the second year of NWSL free agency. Yeah, he's lucky as hell. But that was the case. They are married. They do have a kid. And you would expect that, like you said, anybody is probably going to have to do something similar. And don't make it any less, ugh.
So it's a big disappointed but not surprised.
Right.
I feel like that's probably how we both feel about it. It's like disappointed but not surprised.
Yep, fair.
But also if you're big mad, you can be big mad. And also if you aren't big mad, you can also be not big mad. If I'm being honest, I've been very, it's probably because I had a therapy session today. I'm very, like, a lot of things. Everyone's allowed feelings. All right, Andre, are you ready for Heated and Hyped?
I think so.
Okay. All right, we're taking a quick break, and we'll be right back for Heated and Hyped. All right, Andre, tell me, what are you heated about?
You know, I brought it up a little bit earlier. There's a number of things I could be heated about, if I'm honest. But I know we always say that, but it's just happening to be true. I mean, it's just a byproduct of living in this country at this particular time. So there's a lot to be to feel about. So and a lot of it requires a deeper conversation than just this, you know, segment that we have. So I'm gonna keep it to football, and I'm gonna say I don't even know if I'm really like super heated about it. I think I'm more super sad about it, and it's Sam Kerr's ACL injury. I just
You could have mine. I promise the one on my right knee is it's so good. Actually, the one on my left knee is real good, too. I saw a photo of it in surgery surgery.
Donating ACLs on the podcast. I'm here for it. Yeah.
Sammy, not my girl, yeah. Sammy K.
And the wrong time, the wrong season. You know, Emma's gone after this year. Like, we're trying to win a Champions League and to lose Sam Kerr just absolutely hurts. And I also feel really bad for her because she struggled with injury in the World Cup, which was a home World Cup. She was central to the promotion of that World Cup and the popularity of that World Cup. Couldn't play for a few matches. Play scores that banger against Millie Bright in England.
I still have hearing loss from that game.
It was such a dope moment. It was so fun. And then you're like, okay, Chelsea tried, you know, give her some time off, you know, kind of get her into the squad slowly. That's why Mia Fischel came over as well to back her up. And she tears her ACL in warm weather training camp in Morocco in January. It's a wrap. And so I'm really sad for her. I'm sad for the team. Low-key kind of interested and intrigued in what Mia Fischel can do. And hopefully Kat, who's back on grass, will be back soon. But yeah, for Sam Kerr, looking forward to seeing the full complement of the attack come back and get healthy. And it's just not going to happen. It's got me sad. And, you know, it got me a little heated, too. You know, be mad at the universe.
Yeah, I'm sad about it. I was just like, not Sam. Not Sammy K. I think it's also, I'm just like a player from Roma tore her ACL too. Like, well, sorry, Sam is officially an ACL injury. That's the official term. We don't know what happened, but she has an
Matildas
ACL injury.
Reported that it's a rupture. So,
well, whose word are we taking? But yeah, I'm just absolutely gutted for her. Like, no players deserve ACL injuries. And some hurt more than others. And I think if it, like, it would suck, but I think, yeah, Audrey, what you were saying about, like, all the other things going on in the background, it's Emma's last year at Chelsea. Like, you just don't want that to happen. And it's funny, I was actually saying a few weeks ago that, like, Chelsea's medical team, for the most part, has been, like, really good at keeping players healthy for the most part, outside of, like, I don't know, I think of the only two players that were, like, a bit injured, and they still both came back in the past, like, two seasons, were Pernilla and Fran. And so it's deeply unfortunate. I did see actually something really nice online, besides like the out, like Beth Mead immediately saying, like, you know, we're all here with you, which was actually very, very nice. But like, people were like, well, Christy just transferred to West Ham. So at least like you have your immediate support system there. But yeah, it just like, it absolutely sucks. Like any ACL injury, I'm just absolutely gutted for the players because it just, also being currently in physical therapy myself. After getting surgery on my meniscus and like just the absolute, like the constant struggle of, and like this is in no way, shape or form the exact same thing as being a professional athlete and getting back there, but like even just like small movements, especially when you like don't, and I mean, we don't know how Sam tore her ACL, right? Like, or sorry, injured her ACL. Like, it wasn't like it was in a game and we could all see it. But I was even talking to my doctor being like, yeah, sometimes I'm afraid to do, like, X, Y, Z thing because I think that's how I tore my meniscus last time. And they're like, oh, don't, like, you can't be afraid of that. Otherwise, like, you're just going to be cautious. And even sometimes if, like, my knee moves in a funky way and I'm like, oh, I'm about to re-tear my meniscus or something like that. It very much sucks. And, yeah, I am also heated at the universe for doing that to Sam.
If you want to feel worse about it, which nobody should want to do, but if you want to feel worse about it, I'm not 100% certain that they got her contract extension done and signed before this. And so this is at the very least going to alter the terms, perhaps. And so there's going to be another extended period and she is out of contract at the end of this season. So there's also some scariness there. I expect her to get re-signed, but also these are dangerous times.
I think
when it comes to tearing an ACL and having to like sign a longer term contract, which I would hope that she was going to do, but if they take a couple years off because of the injury, which you can see them doing, you know, I'm just saying.
I think if Sam weren't staying in the league, then Christy would have not went to West Ham.
I agree, but Christy, that is a huge deal is through 2025, I believe, is when it ends. So maybe she does just a, you know, one more year.
Wait, but like summer of 25 or the 2025? Like, is it done in June or is it done like, sorry, not this June, but like the following June?
Yeah,
do you know what, I'm trying to ask you?
Yes. I believe it is June in 2025. I believe they have it for the rest of this season and then all of next season, which would be the 24-25 season. I believe. Give me 1 second to check.
Okay. But yeah, I would expect, I think that's a big mood. I would hope that Sam would still want to be there, but also, I mean, look, she's a Blue through and through and has given us several great years. But yeah, I would just expect that, like, they're probably on the more positive sides than negative sides when it comes to her contract renewal. And look, there's also a good chance that, like, in the most crazy cosmic of ways, she was like, yeah, I want to do it right before tearing her ACL. I don't know. But Kat is back and I'm moving us to hyped. Kat's back.
You haven't done your heated.
I
was right. Emma Sanders reported this and I wanted to get the accreditation because I was like, I saw it, but I wanted to make sure I credited it. Emma Sanders says, Kristen Musa's contract with West Ham is for the next 18 months. So until June 2025.
Yeah, that makes sense. My heated was about Walmart's fake golden gluten-free Oreos. Because they're bad and they're way too sweet and the cookie doesn't have a snap to it. You just bite it and it crumbles. But then my hyped was that if you actually take out the cookies are way too sweet, but and the filling's way too sweet. But my hyped was that if you take out the like cream part of the fake golden Oreos and you put in peanut butter, it tastes just like a Nutter Butter. Andre's just laughing at me. Okay. You know, being like, look at the way you're, wow, look, you know when Terrell said to Renee Rapp saying, the way your brain works, it's fascinating. That was what Andre was thinking in real time.
It's true.
No, actually, I mean, it's a small hyped. Obviously, I'm thrilled about all the signings that Gotham made and the fact that I get to watch them up close every single week. No, but what I'm also excited about is I'm almost able to go upstairs. Like, ooh, not just my right leg going up and my left leg being there. I can almost go upstairs. It's still very difficult and my knee hates me literally every single moment of every day because my knee is like, what do you mean? Like, my PT is like, do this. And my knee is like, no, absolutely not. But yes, I can almost take a normal step up a stair. To be fair, the ones I was doing at PT were like half the size of a normal stair. But, you know, baby steps, because I miss having full movement and full mobility in my knees. So the fact that that happened did give me a little bit of joy when my knee was like, I'm leaving in the middle of my PT session today. I was like, oh my God, I can do this. And also not having to like physically like pull myself up. I was like, I think I can actually like take a proper step. And so it's not like a full hyped, but like it's a little one.
Nah, when it comes to rehab and that kind of stuff, like those little accomplishments got to be celebrated like big hype. So I'm not gonna let you minimize it. That's a big hype. I'm happy for you on that one. Keep going. Like, that progress is super important. So yeah, I'm here for it. Don't minimize
it. It's very rough because I was telling someone else, I was like, they're gonna be like squat and my knees are gonna be fully straight, and I'd be like, I'm squatting right now, and they're like, no, you're not. And I'm like, don't lie to me. And I just learned my PT is my same age, which I was like, this is going to be fun. And he's trying to be like, don't gaslight me into saying that your knees are bent in a squat when your legs are straight. But yeah, little wins, even though I have been going outside in soccer shorts because I'm not changing at PT, which means I go outside in soccer shorts when it's like 32 degrees outside.
Oh, heavens, no.
It's because that means I have to find sweatpants to put over. It's too many steps. It's too much work to try to figure out something I can wear over shorts, then have to change. It's just, I'm like about to go six steps, get in my car, and then drive to PT and get out that car and just walk into PT, legs out. Which also reminded me, my legs haven't seen the sun of days in months. Looking real sugar cookie, as we say in the group chat. Not full sugar cookie. Not full sugar cookie. But Andre, what are you hyped about?
I got two things that I'm hyped about. And the first one I'm going to start off, because it's not petty. It's a real hyped. My second one is petty. The real hype is the Australian Open is going to start. I believe it starts Monday the 15th. I think qualifying rounds are going on now. So those are technically, I guess, the first rounds. But
the tall Australian's excited about the Australian Open.
Stop it. I'm excited about the Australian Open because it's dope. We should have some players back. I believe Naomi Osaka will be back as well. So this is going to be fun. I always love the Australian Open. It's a good tournament as well. And I love tennis. Tennis is just such a dope sport. It's just grueling as hell to play, but it's fun as hell to watch. So, well, at least women's tennis is. Men's tennis, I don't know. And unless it's that Alcaraz dude. Like, he's bringing me back to it on the men's side. But, like, I checked out on men's tennis for a while.
What, you don't like Nadal?
Okay, see, if I got to get into it. The problem was.
And my sweaty king. I can't remember his name, but there's one male tennis player who sweats like no one else I've ever seen in the universe. And it's really funny. And then I have to remember what his name is. But I'm like, look at that sweaty king.
Yes, figure out who that is. The beef with Nadal, it's not even beef anymore. Because now I kind of feel for him. And I've actually been rooting for him the past few years. So I do like him. But the problem was, like, Federer didn't really have a chance to, like, really, like, extend the records that he had because Nadal just came and, like, whooped his ass. And that's not really Federer's fault, but I'm sad about it because I like Federer's game a bit more than I like Nadal's game. And I wanted Federer to, like, have those moments where he got to, like, you know, like, really show that, like, give him, like, maybe two or three more years with the full, like, you know, full calendar of the tours. And I felt like he was going to do something like historical. And instead, Nadal was like, I'm going to keep running the French Open and I'm going to whoop your ass. I'm going to beat your, like, your trophy total before you even retire. And that's what happened. And I was like, damn it, he didn't deserve that. So that's really what it is. It's not really Nadal's fault. Fair. It's just how I felt things should have gone. So, you know, whatever.
They should both team up to take down the one we both don't like.
Correct. Yes, I would appreciate that, even though I'm not too sure Roger Federer can move anymore. But anyway.
Poor guy.
Yeah, or Nadal, to be honest, because he pulled out of this tournament because he's got another injury, hip injury, I think. Yeah, he's falling apart.
Also, poor guy. Yo, yeah. Look, my hip flexor was killing me earlier. It's a rough life to live.
Here's my petty hype. Some of y'all will know what it is, but, and I'm sorry if you are a part of this. Please forgive me on the front end, but y'all also know how y'all are. I'm going to just say it like that. Barca Twitter, y'all are wild. Y'all, I don't know what the hell
happened.
Hey,
man, direct that at just them from you, not me. I'm not getting in the middle of it again.
That shit is almost like a cult. And oh boy, the quote tweets when the Spirit announced that Heraldes is coming to coach the Spirit and leaving Barcelona. Oh, shambles. Absolute shambles. They were inconsolable. They were losing their minds. I didn't even know that the word Yankee translated in Spanish, but it does. Like, they're just really, really upset about it and saying all kinds of wild shit. I saw the one that said that he's going to a league where players can't even complete three consecutive passes. I was like, okay, damn, who hurt you? But I'm laughing at the whole thing. I don't know how this is all going to work out. I think Michelle Kang is wildly ambitious, and that's great. We'll see if he gets the infrastructure to put things in place. Washington Spirit will not be Barcelona in the NWSL because the way the NWSL is set up, that ain't going to happen. How's he going to cope with that? Like, there's a lot of questions, but for now, into the veins. Hook it into the veins. They're so mad, and I love it. I love it so much.
Yeah, it's, I can't lie. A, I have seen Yankee goes worldwide.
Yeah, apparently.
They know immediately who you're talking about. Immediately. Wow. It was also funny because here when I hear Yankees, I like immediately think of anyone, like the team, but also like anyone from like New York. Like, I'm not like Americans. I'm actually very curious to see how he'll do in the league because we've seen.
Yeah, me too.
Like, coaches from other leagues come over and be like, wow, the NWSL is something.
Hey, listen, if he starts talking about art and his, they won't let him create art like Mark Skinner, I'm like, go back, go, leave, get out of
like,
here.
I was like, please, what I was hoping, I was like, don't be Mark Skinner 2.0.
Exactly.
Don't That's be Juan Carlos scenario. Amoros, because you don't need to be like that, but don't be Skinner 2.0. But yeah, I don't know, but that, look, it was a signing I think we were all waiting for. The two things We're waiting for this offseason of who, where's Crystal Dunn going? And who's going to be the next spirit coach? Or is Giraldo's going to be the new spirit coach? So, I mean, look, now it's, yes, now the real question is who's interim? Because that can really make or break your season. It's almost half.
Yeah, there's a ton of questions to have on it. By the way, listen to Hey Spirits if you want to hear us talk about them. But yeah, there's a ton of questions. I just can't stop scrolling the quote tweets and delighting in the feelings that are being felt. So, you know, I'm here for it. I think I said this on Twitter. Like, the meltdown almost like made it worth it already. Like, this is a massive gamble, I think. But, and we have no idea how it's going to work out. Could be great, could be average, could be a Mark Skinner situation. Regardless, the quote tweets, again, food for my soul, hooking into my veins. They so mad.
I think Christina had the best response of that video of Bad Bunny just like sipping wine and like swirling it.
Yes, absolutely.
I was like, that's me as a person who's not a part of any of this. I'm just like, there are things happening and I'm just leaving.
It was perfect. It was absolutely perfect. And I'm here for it. I'm here for the banter. I'm here for that. But when it crosses the line and it gets like wild, the Yankees thing, the can't string three passes together, I've seen some wild shit said about Michelle Kang. Like, when it goes like way too far, I'm just like, y'all are really, really tripping. Some of y'all are cool. Some of y'all get it. I understand being hurt. It's bad. You don't ever want to lose a coach, especially a successful one. But like, some of y'all need Jesus.
Yes, essentially. That's, I'm like, some of y'all need to just get off the internet. Go touch some grass. Don't go
stare some bed. Clouds. Do something.
Anywho, we've been talking for a while. This has been fun. Thanks for listening. Somehow you made it this far. I don't know. Y'all surprise me every single day, truly. Thanks for listening, Andre. Do you have anything else to say for the people?
No. I think I got it all out. Or I said it on another podcast.
I mean, you've been a podcasting king today.
This was not supposed to happen, but here I am. It's all good.
King podcast.
Nope.
All right. See you later.
You still got to do it, even though you're hosting.
I thought you were going to do my bye because you had been doing my notes.
Well, I mean,
stuff.
The throat ain't feeling, you know, I'm just saying, like, you know, you still going to have to do it. Plus, you know, it's technically it's your thing.
I know, but you were doing my other nopes and yups.
I mean, that's true, but you know, still feel like I feel like the people want it. I feel like I can't, that's the one thing that I can't really give them. Like, I can't replicate it as well. I'm not confident in my ability to do so. So I feel like this is still happening.
All right, let me prepare my brain.
Bye!
I was about to do a bye too.
Thanks for listening to Diaspora United Podcast. Please subscribe and rate and review us anywhere you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at Diaspora United Pod. That's Diaspora UTDPOD. And message us if there's anything you want us to talk about in our next podcast. See you next time.